Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Football Friday! What's happening? How are you today? Let's do it. Ah, what a game. What a game last night. Week 15 off to a great start. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, as we set it up inside of our beautiful studio, Quicken Loans Studio, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Great backdrop. Arrowhead was popping. Gutsy decisions, great plays. What a phenomenal game. It was awesome, man.
No, it was a great game. I'm fantastic, man. Look, last year, I remember talking about Anthony Lynn and saying, man, this guy, this is after midway through point of the season, because remember early in last year, they lost three or so in a row. I think it was three or four in a row to start the season. A lot of it was because their kicker. Mm-hmm. They're having to move on from their kicker. But then they flipped the switch, and they just kept winning and winning and winning and winning. I was like, man, Anthony Lynn might be a better coach than we ever have thought we would give him credit for. And he could win Coach of the Year if they somehow sneak into the postseason. They didn't. But let's not forget where he came from. Anthony Lynn was a bit player in the National Football League, played 6 years, 7 years, had, I think he had like 30 carries over the course of his career. He was a running back.
And he was bell cow, huh?
Yeah, exactly. 28 carries for 150 yards, no touchdowns.
28 more than me.
Exactly.
As I laugh at him.
But then he jumped right into the coaching ranks, and he's an assistant, and he's assistant. Eventually he moves up to interim head coach at the end of Buffalo. But we still didn't really know who he was. He gets this job, BT, and he comes out to San Diego, which was bad for a couple of years in a row. I think they'd won 9 games in 2 years prior to him taking the job. They're in the midst of an ugly divorce from San Diego, and they're moving. I mean, anybody would have expected, this is the sacrificial lamb, right? This, you know what? We did the token interview. We got the black guy from Buffalo.
Yeah.
We did our due diligence. Whatever. He's going to lose, and we're going to replace him in two or three years, right? All he's done is instill a toughness in this team that's showing itself week in and week out now. Last year, they finished the regular season winning 6 of 8 going down the stretch. If they had beat Kansas City, which they couldn't, obviously, until last night,
yep,
they would have made the postseason and had a better chance to build off of what they're doing now. They're building off of last year, and the toughness is still there. Remember the Pittsburgh game 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh ran out. They hung around. They fought their way back, even got some, you know, good calls on the referee side. Anthony Lynn going for 2 points to win this game on the road in Kansas City, while it looks obviously the no-brainer call, as he called it, because they won, was gutsy and awesome. And I can't talk enough about how much I appreciate Anthony Lynn as a head coach. Matt Nagy, the Andy Reids, these other ones that are jumping at the top of your forefront. Sean Payton, mm-hmm, as coach of the years. If you're not including Anthony Lynn, you're not paying attention to what's happening in the AFC.
Good job. Good. I'm happy you really gave him. I was going to get to Rivers, and I will for sure. Nice job. I like the way you position that, because and the divorce from San Diego. That's important that you threw that in there, because first he had to stabilize things, which he did. Now he's elevated.
Exactly.
Which is a real accomplishment. I want to play this cut from Anthony Lynn. To me, it was a no-brainer. And I know it's easy to sit here now at 3:06 Eastern and say, well, even if they didn't convert the two, I would have given them credit. I honestly would have.
Moral victory.
No. Even if they got it knocked down in the end zone and they lost by a point, that is absolutely the right play. You've lost 9 straight. It's been a couple of years since you've beaten this team. The refs were maddeningly inconsistent.
No doubt.
You don't want to give Mahomes, a freakish, all right, do they score a touchdown before we get the football back? Does something wacky happen? Tyreek Hill's only going to drop so many 43-yard bombs.
True.
I know it would have been negated, the offsetting penalties. I get that. But the point is, he got behind the third level of the Chargers, and he probably could have done it again. It was the right call. I love it. Here's Lynn post-game on going for two.
We was
going
to go for two the whole time at the end of that game, because I believe in these guys. And like I said, just the game plan was to limit Tyreek Hill's explosive plays to win the fourth quarter. We didn't come here to tie. We came here to win. And so to me, it was a no-brainer.
There's not a fan base. Listen, I'm going to have a new head coach next year as a Jets fan, right? There is nothing that I would want to hear more than that.
I agree.
We came here to win.
Of course.
What else do you want from your coach?
And look, they didn't have much to lose sitting at 10-3
True.
Already, but still.
Except morale and confidence.
And you know what? There is a belief. And we talked about this yesterday, BT. There's a belief that the Kansas City Chiefs just are owning the Los Angeles Chargers. They just own them. 9 in a row they won. At some point, Anthony Lynn, whether it was on Sunday night last week or Monday morning, breaking down the film and talking to his team, had to have said, this game is going to be a statement game one way or another. We're going to play them tough as hell. And if we have a chance, even if it's risky, this decision was made before he even had to even think about making this decision.
In terms of a mindset.
No doubt about it. And I laud him for that because it's hard to do that as a coach.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you have to change the narrative. That's the way you change the damn narrative. Mm-hmm. Just change it. You know what I mean? Win the game when you have a chance to win it as opposed to playing safe football, right? Again, it's backed up by the fact that they already had won 10 games, likely in the postseason anyways, but I love what he did.
It's forcible entry. The only way the narrative is going to change is if you force us to change it.
Exactly.
So you have to be incredibly aggressive. I'll tell you this, by the way, the 9 straight games, and I referenced this stat yesterday, it's not just that they lost 9 straight. The average margin of victories was 12.5 points. No. They were getting smoked.
Right.
So they were owned. I mean, the Chiefs had them in their back pocket. All right, Phillip Rivers. What Phillip Rivers did last night was nothing short of heroic. Mm. And I sincerely believe is a great microcosm of what should be a first ballot Hall of Fame. And don't call me up and say he's got no rings. I don't care. I'm going to hang up on you if you do that today. If you call me and you bring up the Super Bowl or the lack of them, I'm hanging up on you. I don't want to hear it. If you watch football and you watch football every single week and you watched last night, no Melvin Gordon, mm-hmm. no problem. Oh, Keenan Allen, only one of the 5 or 6 or 7 best wide receivers down. In football. For all intents and purposes, didn't play. Got mm-hmm. hurt right away. So you lose him. Top running back, top wide receiver, top team you're going against, who's red hot, whose quarterback is going to win the MVP. I think he's still going to win it, mm-hmm. although Rivers is making his move. Mm-hmm. In arguably the toughest venue in the entire NFL, trying to snap a 9-game skid, and that's what you do. And then you deliver on the 2-point conversion. Phillip Rivers is not good. Phillip Rivers is great,
mm-hmm.
and people need to acknowledge
yeah,
that.
Yeah, of course
he's great.
But they look at his 4-5 playoff in the postseason. Granted, we said this yesterday, he's been playing against some hellified head coaches and opposing quarterbacks. Ben Roethlisberger, he lost to. Tom Brady, he lost to, I think, twice. So he's lost games against Team Denver. Peyton Manning, he lost to. So it's not like he was losing to the slouches in the games he was supposed to win. These were actually games in the couple in the AFC Championship, the divisional round, couple in the wild card, that they probably weren't favored to win. I don't know the lines going back.
He's not losing to Andy Dalton, to your point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Actually, beat Andy Dalton
yeah,
in Cincy.
But he did lose to the Jets.
Everybody loses to the Jets. It's not
Jets.
Our fault they were a juggernaut.
I'm
not going to apologize
when
for our prowess
the Jets get to
here.
The AFC Championship game.
They've And you know how, the, what, by the way, bad kick again.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
They had a line.
Talk about coming full circle.
Oh, yeah. That was at Qualcomm Stadium. That was Sanchez early on with Rex Ryan. He is, and it's what I tell you, we talk about this a lot. And one of the things, if you listen to the show, one thing that really drives me nuts mm-hmm. is in an effort, and I get it, it is about, on some level, hot takes.
Yeah.
Although you and I take pride in substantiating our hot takes and mm-hmm. not just reaching for something sloppily without some sort of rational thought process that we can back up
right.
if somebody calls us on it, okay? But you got to have something hot. You got to come out with something demonstrative, and you got to have something that pops. And when people do that, a lot of times they overlook, I'm not talking about like the final aspect of greatness, but the little incremental jumps of greatness that get overlooked because
yeah.
we want to go right to the resume bullet point championships.
Yeah.
How many you got? So guys like Barkley, guys like Ewing, guys like Karl Malone, guys like John Stockton, guys like Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, it's the conversation ender.
Yes. Is it. How many you got? None. Mic drop. Convo's over. But you know what? It's not. Because, again, if you watch football, that guy on your screen right now, and this is not to disparage Eli, he's better than Eli Manning. And I got news for you. He's better than Ben Roethlisberger.
Mm.
That is the guy from that draft class that is the best quarterback from 04.
That's
right
hard.
There.
That's hard. That's hard to say.
Not for me, it ain't.
Because of the championships.
Not for me, it ain't.
And
first
not,
of all, Big
not,
Ben
not,
did nothing
not just,
his first
not
Super
just
Bowl.
Because of the
zero.
Yeah, that's a good
Mike,
point.
Mike, pull up Big Ben's stats from the Super
terrible.
Bowl, can you?
They were awful.
I want people to hear this.
Forget from
he
the
literally
Super Bowl.
Did nothing.
Forget from the Super Bowl. The season.
But that's my point. People forget about this. Oh, Big Ben, this two-time champ. He was along for the ride. But he did nothing.
I got to find the side-by-side comparisons also for just from statistics standpoint. Because I know what Eli was like as a rookie. Because I played with
sure.
him. But I don't remember statistically Philip Rivers.
He sat. He sat as a rookie.
Year. He sat because it was
Drew
it
Brees.
Was Drew Brees. That's right.
I'll pull the stuff
for his first year starting. What were his stats?
His first year starting, 3,400 yards, 22 touchdowns, 9 picks.
Right away. Mm. Incredibly efficient.
Yeah.
Not overwhelmed, not sloppy.
But he also has had a couple of seasons, like Eli, where he's led the league in interceptions, where he's been inefficient. Twice, Samter? Twice he's led the league in interceptions. It's not, you know, it's not a stat that's overly, I don't know, damning to the entirety of his career, but it is something to keep in mind.
Sure.
And again,
Reggie Jackson, you know, had the most strikeouts before, you know,
exactly.
I mean, all time.
Exactly. I mean, Brett Favre is he's the all-time leading interception thrower, and he's one of the first, you know, greatest first ballot Hall of Famers that we've seen in a while.
Yep.
So, I mean, of course that happens. It comes when you throw the ball as much as they did, and his offense, especially with North Turner and some of those coordinators that he's had over the years, all they want to do is throw the ball. And so it's understandable. Just the percentage of throwing is going to mean a higher percentage of interceptions. Same thing with Eli in some points of in his career. But Phillip Rivers, look, he's a great quarterback. We know this. But
I don't think that we do know this. You know this.
Yeah, true.
I know this. I don't know if they know this.
I think most people view him as a great quarterback.
I really do. Put up a poll about this. Word it however you want. You know he's already doing it.
Yeah.
Attaboy.
I think people do.
Well, now they react to last night and they vote favorably.
Yeah,
but you know
point.
What I'm saying? Like
that's
they react
point.
To the recency bias.
That's a good
oh,
point.
What did I watch last night?
That's
he got the
point.
Two-point conversion.
That's a good point.
He won without Gordon.
Yep.
He won without Keenan Allen. He beat Patrick Mahomes.
Methodical drive at the end of the game, too, actually, in 4 minutes. Four and a half
he was
minutes.
He was down two touchdowns with 3.5 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, bang. Game.
You're right.
I mean,
credit to their defense too. Quick three and out for Kansas City.
Yeah, very quick three and out for Kansas City. By the way, the numbers for Big Ben in that first Super Bowl. And I just want again, this is not to take a shot at Ben. This is history.
This is the reality of it.
Yeah, because it's always distorted, or oftentimes distorted, or embellished unnecessarily. Right? Big Ben, he's got two championships. Mm-hmm. The first one, he was 9 for 21. Okay. For 120, it gets worse. For 123 yards,
okay,
no touchdowns, 2 picks.
Oh, wow, that's in the Super Bowl.
Yes, against Seattle. But yet we lump him in, and yes, literally he is a two-time champ.
Yeah,
but that's why you have to watch games, and you can't react at the end of a career. You've got to keep score during a career.
Yeah,
and if you kept score during Phillip Rivers' career, which is still going. By the way, nobody in L.A. is saying, well, we got to replace Phillip Rivers. Giants right now are saying, who the hell's going to be our quarterback next year?
Yeah, Pittsburgh.
And
a couple years ago, they were like, wait, is Big Ben going to retire?
Well, they've been drafting quarterbacks. It tells you all you need to know.
That's a good point.
The kid from Oklahoma State and the kid from Tennessee.
Yeah,
Landry. Who played when his rib was broken.
Landry and Josh Dobbs.
Josh Dobbs from Tennessee.
Yep.
And so, the Chargers are not plotting out their next move because Phillip Rivers is still clearly the man.
I think you're right. Samter, real quickly, Pittsburgh Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger's first year, complete stats, not just the Super Bowl. What did he do in his rookie season at the helm of the Pittsburgh Steelers, which resulted, obviously, in a championship?
Well, he didn't lose a game. I know. That, to be fair.
Yeah, because it was, I forget who started. Tommy Maddox started? Who started the first?
Yeah, so he was 13. So his first year in 04, they didn't actually win the Super Bowl. They went 15-1. He was 13-0.
Gotcha.
And then they lost in the playoffs.
What were his stats?
He was, let's
they
see,
had to be
60,
pretty pedestrian.
Yeah. Well,
good.
For a rookie, you can't, whatever. 13-0, 66 completion percentage.
Wow. That's good.
2,600 yards and 13 starts,
yep.
17 touchdowns, 11 picks.
That's good. I mean, that's fine. I'm not trying to make it worse.
Yeah,
that's
horrible.
Fine.
That's good.
That's
actually.
Fine.
It's really good.
Career 357 touchdowns, 187 picks, so he's about double.
Oh, he's thrown a ton of touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He's ripped up the scoreboard seemingly every week. I get all that. But I believe in the pecking order, and I don't think people will agree with me, and that's fine. It's Phillip Rivers. It's Ben Roethlisberger. And that it's Eli. Mm. And the other factor that you have to factor in is the absence of a real palpable home field advantage. Pittsburgh's among the best in the NFL. Giants Stadium, now MetLife, pops when the Giants are good. It's an advantage. It's an asset for the Giants. Phillip Rivers has been playing in a dilapidated stadium that's hemorrhaging money, and even the new stadium, Charger fans don't even go.
I mean, it's a soccer arena. That's why.
It's incredible what he's done. And last night, to do it on Monday night against that team in Kansas City, just demonstrated what I've always been saying about this guy.
Thursday,
you know where I stand.
Yeah,
I mean, Thursday, pardon me.
Yep.
You know where I stand. He's great. 1-855-212-4227, Tiki and Tierney Show. So let's get into this coming up next. Have to update the playoff picture a little bit. Does this change your view on Kansas City moving forward? And maybe you had them on autopilot to a Super Bowl. Maybe not. But how do you view the Chiefs right now? And also, of course, how do you view the Chargers? That was a monster win. Let's get the calls coming in. 855-212-4227. Show Rivers some respect. Stop embarrassing yourselves. Okay, Football Friday here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Brought to you by, of course, Geico. Toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Hey, everybody, quick way to save a little money. Switch to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance. Get it all at geico.com. So week 15, if it keeps this up, we are in for a treat as we hit the home stretch. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, and, of course, Sirius XM 206. Tiki will get these calls in a minute. Let everybody know what's happening on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. All right, Mike, what's the poll question, bud? What do you have? How'd you frame it?
Well, very simply, I used you as inspiration. You said last night was a microcosm of what should be a first ballot Hall of Fame career.
Mm-hmm.
Phillip Rivers is not good. He's great. He's better than Eli. He's better than Ben Roethlisberger. So we simply ask, who is the best quarterback from the 2004 draft? Obviously, Matt Schaub and J.P. Lossman don't count. So we're going to go with Eli, Phillip, or Big Ben as the three options.
Uh-huh.
Right now, Big Ben in the lead at 42%. Eli and Phillip Rivers, 29%, tied for second.
Ooh.
Maybe Eli's he's higher in touchdowns. He's higher in passing yards. He has the two Super Bowl MVPs and the two trophies.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's weighing in on people, and last night isn't sticking as much as we thought.
Okay, early sample. How do you think it's going to finish up here, T, before we get these phones? What's your order of prediction?
I think it's going to be Ben, Eli, Phillip.
There's no way Rivers is going to be third. There's no way.
Because people, it depends on what our viewership, our listenership and viewership values.
And from a regional point of view as well.
Yeah, you're right. I think if you've watched them all, deeply, obviously Phillip Rivers won't be third.
Mm-hmm.
But most people probably haven't.
Mm-hmm.
They just know the stories around them.
That's true. That is very true.
The narratives aren't always telling the correct story.
Yep.
The historical story.
Understood. Hey, by the way, how about our boy Damian Williams hooking us up?
I know.
I wrestled with that one. You know, I had never wrestled with a fantasy decision
This is the semi right now.
31 points he got us in a PPR.
That's pretty solid. You got a hard matchup in your.
Nothing's hard. I'm leading the way.
Mine, the guy who I'm playing, he had Damian Williams.
Okay.
Tyreek Hill.
Okay.
And Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, but Tyreek Hill was pretty quiet, and based on what Mahomes has usually done, because I have Mahomes as well, did not deliver what I was hoping for last night. 22.
Yeah. He usually has like 38 to 40.
Oh, yeah. So I was a little disappointed in Patty Ice.
I might be okay. Big Ben's better have a big day for me.
Okay, let's see. Let's get to the phone, see what's up, and we'll respond to the conversation about Rivers and Big Ben and Eli and anything else you might want to jump in on. Chad is in Wisconsin. Chad is on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Chad, set it up. What do you got?
How are you guys doing today? Happy holidays.
Likewise.
You too, Chad.
What do you say?
I had this conversation with a couple guys this morning, and I completely agree, Tierney. I think Rivers is the best of the three, even without the ring.
Mm.
And last night was just another example. He just comes back. He doesn't quit. And neither the other two don't either, but he just gets it done. He didn't have, like you said, he didn't have Allen or...
Yeah, Melvin Gordon.
Gordon last night. And still in a hostile environment, came in there and got it done.
Yeah, that's the most impressive thing, ain't Chad?
Thank you, Chad.
This was on the road.
Yeah.
They pulled this comeback in Kansas City, of all places, too.
That
sea of red out there at Arrowhead is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a vicious crowd. It's intense. They know their stuff. They're not going to let it. They're not going to let a visitor off easy. They're not going to be accidentally quiet. Is my point? You know what I mean? They start beating the drums and people. It's crazy out there.
You earn a win in Kansas City.
Absolutely, but he did a great job of quieting them. I mean, it's not the easiest thing to do. But Phillip Rivers is so veteran. It just he was unfazed, and especially in the moment down the stretch in the last 5 or 6 minutes of the game. He was flawless.
He took a helmet to helmet too that they missed.
You're right.
I mean, that was a clear at free. It's funny because
it happened a lot this year.
But the first replay, I'm like, that's not a helmet to helmet. And then I'm like, whoa, he did clip him helmet to helmet when they showed the different angle.
Not on quarterbacks. The quarterbacks they usually get. There's been a lot of them this year.
Running backs
that we thought were going to be called.
Yeah,
they're not getting called.
I hear you. Let's go to LA. See what KC's got. KC's on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, KC, what's up?
Yo, what's crack-a-lackin'?
Oh, it's good, man.
My man, KC.
What's up, KC?
What up, buddy?
Now, look, I'm going to frame this in a little bit of a different way. And let me first premise it that this is coming from a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Okay.
Been a fan since the Immaculate Reception. Robin Cole, and then Robin Cole played outside linebacker. Robin's my cousin.
Oh, nice. Okay. Oh, so you got a real bias then.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing you're missing is, you talk about that first Ben Roethlisberger Super Bowl when he had pedestrian numbers, but he probably engineered maybe one of the greatest Super Bowl game-winning drives, that second one against the Cardinals,
that's
against
true.
Antonio Holmes.
Great throw to Holmes.
In that corner with 23 seconds left.
Yeah.
I have never seen a football thrown better than that one particular. He had about 4 inches to get that ball.
Yeah, you're right. And you know what? He wasn't
that was a great throw.
He wasn't supposed to go there, Casey. That ball was – He forced it in there. If you just look at the coverage, the other guys are open. He forced it into San Antonio Holmes. And KC, I look at this play often whenever I see it. I still don't think his other foot was down.
I don't either.
His back foot was on his front foot.
I've always thought that.
It never actually hit the ground.
I'm with you.
But it was such a great play. You can't not call that. You know what I mean?
Well, that only determined history.
True, but still.
I hear you. So, KC, all the preamble, give us your order here. Who are you going with? 1, 2, and 3. What do you got?
Let me finish what I'm talking
Let's
about
go.
Here. If you look at it right now, the way Rivers has played the last couple of years, he has now, in my opinion, passed them both.
Yeah.
There you go.
Let me talk about Ben. He's always thrown a lot of interceptions.
Yeah.
Because
it's gotten worse lately, though.
He will try to get the ball in those small, tight windows, and he just always does it. He will never not do that.
You're right.
But there's always a big payoff.
Yeah.
But right now, if the careers go as they're looking, I want it. Because last night, fellas, I had a Twitter beef. I was talking about Phillip Rivers being a Hall of Famer. And he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yep,
Dan Marino don't have Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Dan Fouts doesn't have Super Bowls.
Yeah, true.
But Brad Johnson and Trent Dilfer do?
Yeah.
It's
Hey, KC, I've been singing that one for a while, man.
Hey, KC, watch it with Trent Dilfer. That was against me.
So he really earned it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, give him extra credit.
They did. Their defense really earned that
one. And special teams helped as well.
Let's not forget, by the way, BT.
What?
Ben Roethlisberger, 68% win percentage regular season games.
Okay.
Phillip Rivers?
Yeah.
56.
Okay.
68 to 56.
That's important. Yeah. That's a great number for – what's Eli's here? Eli stinks.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely below Big Ben.
I mean, Eli had a
3-13 last year. We got four. They're actually playing well.
Had a couple fives in there.
For sure. A couple 7-9s. What's Eli, 58-ish?
Not even close. He's barely –
Oh, that's right. He's right at 50%.
51.1.
Wow.
And if he plays for this team again next year and they struggle again.
They're not going to struggle next year.
But like, I mean, imagine they go like 6-10.
And he's like 46% for his career.
He can finish his career under 500.
Trust me.
Wow.
They're going to be much better next year. Trust me. I believe that they're going to be much better next year.
You got to believe that.
Here's the big difference, though. Phillip Rivers, 4-5 in the playoffs, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
Eli's 8-4.
Okay.
So say what you will.
What's Big Ben? Big Ben's got to be.
I'll find that in a second.
He's got to be up there as well. Probably
check it out there, Mike. Scott's in Dallas. We get another call before the update. Scott, he's on Tiki and Tierney. What's up, Scott?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, man.
You actually just, segued into my point.
Which was?
I agree with you, BT, because I have Phillip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, then Eli.
Yeah.
But my question is, do we overrate Super Bowl victories for quarterbacks?
I don't, but a lot of people do.
Well, I think it's a good question, Scott. I think if the quarterback is responsible for it, then you can't overrate it. Like, for instance, we give Peyton – Manning,
mm-hmm.
the second Super Bowl.
That's for the call, bud.
This second Super Bowl that Peyton Manning won, he wasn't throwing the ball 20 yards downfield.
No, he was along for the ride.
Exactly. And so we'll give him credit for winning that second Super Bowl and going out on top, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But it carries less weight for me than for some people, the second Super Bowl. I still look at him, that first Super Bowl was the one that he dominated.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when he was in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
He was amazing.
Yeah.
The second one, he was there. He was part of the team.
Yeah, like Big Ben's first.
Exactly.
We forget about that.
Exactly.
That's what, listen, context is always going to be obscured as it gets further and further in our rearview mirror. I'm not telling you what to believe. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I'm going to go home. I'm going to go to sleep. I don't care if you think Eli's one, two, or, I mean, I do for the sake of the show. The only thing I care about is that let's not grossly misrepresent an entire generation of football.
Yeah.
And I feel like that happens. I think people are very hasty and very sloppy, including people on the air.
By the way, Big Ben playoffs, 13-8.
13-8. Okay. All right. Now, listen, and by the way, does this really matter? If you were to go through the numbers and parse through it, yeah, it would a little bit. Big Ben, 68%. Eli's 51%. And Rivers is 56%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Think about all the years, basically since he entered the league, except maybe two or three years with Carson Palmer, and then obviously for the Bengals and the Browns, he's got two wins every year against the Browns.
Yeah.
Up until, for the most part, they've been one of the most pathetic franchises in sporting history.
He's a good boy.
You show up, you win.
You're right.
So, you know, and then if I want to at least give Eli a little bit of the benefit of the doubt during in his division, you know, even though the Redskins have, you know, spent money and they've sloppily, they're not going 2-14 like the Browns have all these years.
Good point.
They're at least a representative franchise. You know what I mean?
I do.
Dallas is always pretty decent. The Eagles, obviously, champs and a great rivalry. So there's things within the things that you got to know. And if you don't know them, I can't help you. You know what I mean, T?
I do.
Well, thankfully, Jason Lockenford knows. We got Jason coming up next. Mike, is Jason on the train? Is he coming into New York, or is he? He's here. Nice. He's just saying he's here. He has literally no idea, but I appreciate the conviction in which you said that. He's here. Okay. We got Jason coming up for our weekly Friday spot update. Justin Shackle, look at this young buck. Who is this guy? What's up, Justin? How are we doing? Good. You all right?
Doing well.
Now, where'd you go? You're not a Penn State guy, are you?
You got the voice.
I forgot.
Like
Fordham. You're a Fordham man.
Yeah. He's got the voice of a 50-year-old that's been in the business forever, though.
No, he's got the voice. Listen, I respect this, and I'm not taking a shot at all. He's got the voice. He's still finding his voice. How old are you?
31.
Oh, yeah, you're actually a little older than I thought. You look good. But, you know, as you break your way into the industry, you got to put on that voice a little bit. I'm doing the update. I got to sound official.
Stick your chest out.
Your chest out. Doesn't hurt. He's got good pipes, though. Here's the update. Let's check it out. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. That music. Love it. We're going to get with our buddy Jason Lockenford here in a sec. NFL Insider, CBS Sports. But first up, time to ask the pros. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. That's at CBS Sports Radio. Hashtag Ask the Pros, and make sure you stick around. Listen later on. Teek and I will answer the best one for you. So challenge us. Make it creative, and we'll probably answer it for you. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Next hour, by the way, a little something on Josh McDaniels. Inbounds, out of bounds. Something on the Lakers. But right now, though, every Friday, his usual spot. He has been good to us all, actually, for a couple of years now. He's a busy man this time getting into the weekend, but he always carves out time. The great Jason Lockenford. JLC, what's up, buddy? How are you today?
What's going on, guys?
All's good, JLC. Man. Hey, we know you're down in your neck of the woods. There's a turnover happening at quarterback with Lamar Jackson. You've been reporting on this, really, since the beginning of the season. I remember coming on preseason telling us that they were going to include packages for him. Now it's foregone and fulfilled. Lamar Jackson's the starting quarterback. What happens to Joe Flacco now?
You know, I think they're going to have a difficult time trading Joe Flacco in the offseason because he's making close to $20 million a year.
Yeah.
Teams know that he doesn't fit this offense anymore. There's no use paying a backup that kind of money anyway. And they're probably just going to cut him. Well, they're going to cut him and make him a post-June 1st designee. Is there a team or teams that, you know, is so wanting to get to the head of the class and doesn't want to risk losing him in free agency that they give up something to take on that contract? I don't see it, guys.
Yeah.
You know, he's been hurt for three straight years now. He hasn't had a ton around him, but his production has declined steadily since the Super Bowl run. And there's going to be other guys out there, you know, who he's sort of competing with. Do you want to, whatever Flacco is going to cost, 12 or 14, would you rather get Tyrod at 8? You know, what about as a team, would a team rather trade for Teddy Bridgewater with more upside than go with somebody, you know, like a Flacco or, you know, a Sam Bradford? You know, that's the market that he's going to be competing with. I think he ends up as a free agent somewhere.
Lamar Jackson now, though, is as the head guy, we know he's not going to throw the rock a ton. He's almost rushed for 500 yards and 3 touchdowns. Completion percentage is, you know, whatever. It is what it is. And he's touchdown interception ratio is about equal. What's the upside for him this year? Because they need him. They're 3-1. I mean, that's really all that matters. He's 3-1. They can make the postseason, but does he need to advance in order for him to do that?
You know, I think he needs to make 2 or 3 big throws a game. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean 50 yards downfield. It just might be 11 or 14 yards on a 3rd and 9.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, they're ahead of the sticks. I mean, they're running for 4 yards or more per carry in the pistol like 66% of the time with Lamar as the starter. Yeah. So that's 2nd and 6 right there. You know, right? And then that's 3rd and 2. But the few times where they throw it on first down incomplete, he needs to convert a few of those, and he needs to turn the ball over 2 times or less a game, which he's done for the most part. I mean, he only turned it over once in Arrowhead. That was a huge factor. I mean, everything else is just keep doing what he's doing. That people can't really stop this RPO offense. I mean, they're averaging over 200 rushing yards per game the 4 games he started. You could say they're against bad defenses, and that's true, but guess what? Tampa's a bad defense this week. So, you know, now do I think it's going to work as well against the Chargers and the Browns? No, but this team was 4-5 and going nowhere on either side of the ball at the bye week when Flacco got the hip injury, and they finally got to start playing this ball control style of offense, which protects that. That defense has high rankings. It's also old and slow.
Yeah.
And they can't be on the field 36 minutes a game like they were.
All right, let's jump around. By the way, just as a quick aside to Jackson, great self-awareness, and I know you saw this. He was asked this week, Teek and I talked about this. He was asked by a reporter, hey, is this your team? He says, no, it's our team. Without
he's an
missing
easy
a beat.
Kid to root for, man. He won over that locker room quickly.
Yeah. He's saying the right things. He's doing the right things. We all like him. Jason Lockett, 4 with us here, Teek and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Jason, of course, our CBS Sports NFL insider. Okay, let's get to Kirk Cousins. Hasn't had a good week here. Now, he manned up. He put the thumb at his own chest. You got to respect that.
Yeah.
But DeFilippo got fired. And on the surface, his numbers are good, completion percentage, yards, career highs, and all that. But I'm going to go back to what I've said for a long time. You can pay somebody to be a star, but you can't make them a star.
Yeah.
What happens in Minnesota? How worried are they?
I mean, this is a team people thought would win that division or certainly be among the elite teams in the NFC, and now they're in that lower middle class, bunched in with about 6 other teams who nobody really takes seriously, but one of them is going to be the 6th seed. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, Mike Zimmer's defense hasn't done what it has to do at times, but the offense has been a big problem. A lot of it is the offensive line. They can't run the ball. They can't stay balanced. But when you give a quarterback $84 million guaranteed, fully guaranteed for 3 years, then you have an established window, right? And every game really, 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 really matters. And the big plays aren't there unless it's to Thielen and they force feed him. The tight end, they just haven't gotten Rudolph involved nearly the way he was in Shermer's offense last year. I'm not shocked they made this move. The timing's surprising, but DeFilippo for a while now has had no future there beyond this year. I don't think he was ever Mike Zimmer's cup of tea, to be honest with you.
Wow.
Where does it go from here? We'll see. A lot of people in this league think highly of Kevin Stefanski, and if you know he's got a 3-week window here to still get them in the playoffs, and maybe he unlocks a few things that they weren't doing otherwise. But I do think the offensive line's a concern, no matter who's calling.
Oh,
plays.
It's been among the worst in football. It's terrible.
True. Yeah, that early season tie is helping them right now. With the other 6 and 7 teams, one of which is the Philadelphia Eagles at 6 and 7. Carson Wentz's back issue. What are we hearing? Obviously, he's not going to play this week. At least we don't think he's going to play this week. Maybe not for the rest of the season. What are we hearing here?
Well, I mean, this is not something where he's been ruled out for the year. There's no surgery, and this can be, you know, a couple of week type scenario. I think it's going to come down to whether or not if they win this game with Nick Foles. I mean, if they manage to, you know, beat the Rams with Nick Foles, and they look like they have a real shot for the playoffs, then I think whenever any player would be normally cleared from this injury, Carson Wentz would be cleared. If, you know, they're 6-8, then, you know, maybe it's just not our year. And, yeah, could he play if it was a playoff game? Yeah, but, you know, it's probably not a playoff game. So, you know, I think discretion could be the better part of valor there as well. But, I mean, the good news is that while this has been a situation that's been a concern for a while, he's been able to play through it, play very effectively at times through it, and this is not something presently that should take away from his ability to have a normal offseason, which he obviously couldn't have last year.
All right. Let's go to Jason Lockin for CBS Sports NFL Insider. Jay, I've got a long list here, so don't expound on this. We'll have plenty of time. You're writing about this, I know, as well, but there's a lot of teams who could be looking at a new head coach. I'm going to rifle through a bunch. You tell me yes or no. You ready?
Okay.
Ravens.
Maybe.
Okay. Jets.
Yes.
Thank God. Browns.
yes.
Yep. Bengals.
Maybe.
Okay. Jaguars.
I'll say yes.
Mm. Broncos.
Between maybe and yes, but close to yes.
Okay. Mm. Redskins.
I don't think so.
Okay. Wow. Panthers.
Maybe.
Mm. Yeah. Tampa Bay.
Yes.
And what about Atlanta with Quinn?
I don't think it gets to Quinn. I think there could be a front office shakeup. I think they're going to have a hard time bringing Steve Sarkisian back for a third year to run that offense.
Yep.
Both coordinators, maybe they're going to have to look at. I don't think Dan Quinn's going. I would add Arizona to that list for sure. And I would say yes.
One and done, huh?
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, man, that's a tough sell.
Yeah, that's rough. I can't, that's a tough one. Let me go back up.
Or it could be a bloody Black Monday, by the way. I mean, maybe right. Extra bloody,
like,
or Jay.
It's usually like six or seven.
Yeah.
We get eight. Oof. Look, JLC, I'm going to back up to Baltimore. We've talked about Lamar and Joe Flacco. Hasn't John Harbaugh done enough to save his job, so to speak, changing the way the philosophy offensively is going and making a really tough call to bench a guy who won a Super Bowl for him?
It all comes down to one man's determination, Steve Bisciotti. You know, there's unusual parameters going on here. You've got, you know, the guy who Harbaugh's worked with for, you know, his 12 years at the helm is retiring, and that's a Hall of Fame executive. And you've got a young, unproven guy, Eric DaCosta, taking over. And let's face it, their drafts and their personnel decisions the last 5 years since the Super Bowl has been a big part of why they haven't been in the playoff consideration. And John Harbaugh, somebody out there is going to pay him 5 years, $45 million for starters, and he knows that, and the Ravens know that. And some of those teams would probably give him a little bit more say in personnel and be willing to do whatever it takes to woo him to come in their building. Coaching out a lame duck year next year, it makes no sense for him or the organization.
Yeah.
So is Bisciotti going to pay market value and be willing to do what these other teams would do for John Harbaugh, who will be the by far the best of breed of any coach available, if he's available? I mean, the last 2 years, Bisciotti sat at a dais at the end of the season, kind of licked his thumb, held it up in the air, seen which way the wind's blowing, and said, I really, really, really thought about firing this guy, but I'm not going to. You know?
Yeah.
So he's kind of set all these wheels in motion the last 2 years by what he said and what he's done and what he hasn't done. And will he be willing to sort of go back on some of the things he talked about a year ago?
Yeah.
We shall see.
Yeah. No, we will. It's interesting. We only have about a minute here, Jason, but a guy who is a favorite whipping boy of Fire the Coach is Jason Garrett for the Dallas Cowboys. And you got to give him credit. Yeah. He's a friend of mine, so I'm a little bit biased here, but he's done a heck of a job of changing the narrative, not only for himself, but for the Dallas Cowboys.
I mean, if you would have told me after the Tennessee game, not even so much Jason Garrett, but that Scott Linehan would not only like not be fired, but nobody would have been talking about him for 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah,
you know, and they were going to go on this run to the point where they're a dangerous playoff team. I wouldn't have bought that narrative.
Yeah.
You know, I would have said if they're doing it, they're beating everybody 10-3 or 7-0, and they're just suffocating them with the front seven. And they're look, Amari Cooper, that trade has been genius. Everything. You know, they're on about a 5-week run here, at least a month, where everything they touch is, you know, they're rolling exactly what they need. You know, I got to give him credit. Absolutely have to give him credit. And, you know, give Jerry Jones credit too, man. They've reversed the course of their season, and they're going to win that division going away. And, you know, we'll see what happens in January.
Yeah, I've been a pretty outspoken Garrett critic, but
he's
making
a lot of them. I mean, you're not alone, and for good reason. But
absolutely. Hey, but if somebody changes it, you got to give props. Five seconds. Mahomes still the MVP, yes or no?
For me, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. See you Sunday morning, Jay.
All right,
great
guys,
job.
Have a great weekend. Enjoy the game.
You too, man. Jason Lockin for CBSSports.com, NFL Insider, the NFL Today Tops. Man's got about 9,000 jobs, all pertaining to football.
He's awesome, though.
He is the man. All right, hour two coming up. Lakers, something interesting happened last night. We'll point it out for you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.